Don't think he's being punished by God or accepting the sins of the world for anybody's sake. He is demonstrating that only Spirit is present. There are no sins, there's no suffering, there's no punishment. There is the allness of Spirit being demonstrated. And all that is not Spirit must die in our consciousness. In our consciousness then comes the death of the corporeal sense, and that is the birth of the Christ awareness. It's a seesaw. As one diminishes, the other expands. As one goes down, the other comes up. This is all by way only of explanation. The implementation of it follows. So, finally, the servants of the soldiers bind him up, band and the captain and the officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him. And so the self of man is bound while the non-self takes over. As we live in the human sense of self, we bind our Christ self. Meanwhile, the teaching has been given. And the world has bound the Christ self so that the opposites of truth can continue to dominate the mind of man. This has taken place within all of us. We know what Gethsemane is. We know what's expected of us. We know our purpose is to live in divine love. And so now, our entire quest is how to stand in that consciousness called Gethsemane, in the Garden of Truth, in the Christ mind, watching all that would declare itself to be real when it is unreal, ridding ourselves of the false consciousness which sees what isn't there. We'll pause a little now. We'll go to our Gethsemane. And in our Gethsemane, we have no flesh. There simply is no flesh there. No matter, no person. And in this realm of consciousness, whatever enters to defile, to lie, distort, deceive, persuade us that something beside pure Spirit exists, we meet with the knowledge that only Spirit is here. There is no flesh. There is no person. There is no human. There is no matter. There is no corporeal world. There is a spiritual universe peopled by spiritual being. This becomes our daily consciousness in which we rest. This is how we face every outer circumstance. We're following the way Shoah, who faced his outer circumstances in the same way. My identity is my sword. And your identity is my identity everywhere. There is no flesh in the kingdom of heaven on earth. This must go beyond a mental lesson into consciousness. And so we have a few thoughts that will help that after we have a brief period of rest. Let's take that rest now and start over again in a few minutes. In the ninth verse of the 41st Psalm, "Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me." My friend, I trusted, ate of my bread, has lifted up his heel against me. And then, strangely, in the 13th verse of John, 13th chapter of John, the 18th verse of the 13th chapter, "I speak not of you all. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth my bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me." Now that's the serpent in Genesis. That's Judas in the New Testament. But who is it in your human life? Who eateth your bread? Who turns up his heel against you? Who is your friend? Your physical self eateth your bread. And your physical self is your friend, and it turneth against you. It leadeth you to death. And this is the secret of that 41st Psalm verse, repeated in John, that your physical body, which you consider your friend, even yourself, is not your friend. It eateth your bread and you trust it. But it will be the chiefest attacker when you enter the Garden of Gethsemane. It will lead a band against you. And don't take this lightly, because corporeality is the enemy, the adversary we are to learn to agree with by understanding it. Now, we're at a place in this teaching where, if you're new, you're puzzled. If you're relatively new, you're confused. And if you're a veteran, you're still saying, "I heard it, but I don't believe it." But number one is that there is no flesh. Because flesh is the friend who eateth your bread, whom you trust, who will lift up its heel against you. Flesh will keep you imprisoned unto death. And so we come to the grip of the truth, which says the only flesh there is pure, invisible spirit. One, then, I am not this flesh. Two, all flesh is a mortal dream. And yet this mortal dream of flesh is made up of little building blocks. And those are the third point. These building blocks, called atoms, invisible to the eye, come disguised as forms. Persons, places, things, objects, conditions. And we reach for the sword against these forms, not knowing they are invisible atoms of the world mind, appearing as flesh. And when we have been enlightened sufficiently to know the secret of this false flesh, we come to the fourth point, that all that is false exists only within your false consciousness. The flesh you see is not external. The objects are not external. The conditions are not external. The people are not external. I am He is the infinite self that is present without opposite. And the mortal dream exists only within your false consciousness of it. And therefore you never go out there to heal those out there. You learn to dominate your false consciousness. You will find that every evil in the world, every wrong in the world, every discord in the world falls back. War falls back. Famine falls back. Poverty falls back. When you are able to see that its only location is within your false consciousness. No flesh. No matter. No healthy flesh. No diseased flesh. All a mortal dream, too. The dream is made of the invisible building blocks called atoms, which we react to and call form. That's three. For they exist only, and the world exists only, within the false consciousness that perceives it. There is no external world. And then the secret is to learn to overcome your false consciousness. You don't have to overcome the evils of the world. They only exist in your false consciousness. And it is a false consciousness, and therefore the overcoming of it is simply to step out of it. It doesn't matter what the evils are that beset you or the groups you know, they are in your false consciousness, and you can step out of that consciousness. And you will discover that when you step out of that consciousness, you come to the fifth point. You are in the new consciousness. You have changed consciousness. You are in the divine, and the evils of the world are not there, even though you haven't moved an inch. Those are your five points to practice this week. They're a little more detailed than the simplified structure we gave you several weeks back. Now, if you're not consciously aware that there is no flesh, you're going to fall into the trap Peter fell into. You're going to see things attacking the ones you love. And you're going to run to the medicine chest. You're going to run for the X-ray. You're going to run for the human aids with lanterns and torches. You're going to follow Judas, the material sense of man. We make a mockery of the Bible when we read it and then turn away and proceed to do precisely what it's teaching us not to do. You may even have to take the teachers of religion and put them in the pews and become their teachers by the example of the light you shed. Because we must come out of the false consciousness which perceives evil. Your Gethsemane, then, is standing where the evil is, where the oppression is, where the tyranny is, where the liars are, where you are considered to be a victim of something, and knowing that exists only in your false consciousness. It isn't happening in your being. And then, because you must come to the total, ultimate trust of spirit to need no defense, you withdraw your belief in the consciousness that is presenting the evil to you. No sword, no words of truth, no remedies, no quotations, just the moral courage to trust that you truly are pure spirit and that nothing else exists. There is no flesh. And in the quietness of your consciousness, the invisible transfiguration will show you the power of resting in the one self, in the new consciousness, the I am He consciousness, which refuses help. Can God be imperfect? Can my life be imperfect if it is the life of God? Can spirit be imperfect? Does omnipotent spirit need to defend itself against anyone or anything? No, these are all the illusions of the Judas consciousness. Again and again and again, you walk over that brook into the garden. You make it your home, your headquarters, your home base. And you take a day and specifically test out the principle that there is no flesh. Look at it and say to yourself within, it isn't there. And watch how love springs up where flesh had seemed to be. Watch how you awaken from the deep sleep of a fleshly universe that God did not create. You may find that you're really taken to the real Gethsemane in the invisible. You may find Christ lives there always. That Christ never left. Nobody took Christ out of Gethsemane, I can assure you that. What you meet in Gethsemane may surprise you, what you see there and what you hear. Gethsemane is where the real crucifixion takes place. This is where regeneration reaches its peak test. And all that is not you dies in consciousness. All that is you is born in consciousness. Every test up to this has been for that purpose, to where you can know the invisible self that is not flesh as the only self that exists. Your false consciousness is the money bag that Judas carried. In this bag he threw all the objects that had some value to him. This money bag is a bag of memories. It's the accumulated false consciousness we carry around with us of all of our yesterdays. It's the accumulation of concepts in the conditioned mind. Get rid of your money bag. Get rid of your false consciousness, which includes all of the defects and problems of human flesh, by getting rid of the belief that the flesh itself is there. Look through it to the invisible building blocks of atoms, and then through them to the invisible spirit, and you will see how human mind, through world mind, has distorted purity into that which perishes. Without changing the genuine original that is always invisibly present. The importance of today is for you to know without doubt that your Father is perfect, and your Father is everywhere without opposite, and that whatever you see as imperfect exists only in your false consciousness, and that when you fight and attack and defend, all of that is done only in your false consciousness. Step out of it, enter the arena of truth, and let your truth in consciousness dispel the false human consciousness you entertain. When you drop your human consciousness and are in the divine, you will know that life is present and perfect without flaw. I want you to learn to meet there is no flesh. This is where you make your true demonstration. To clarify that, whatever is wrong, see that it exists in your false consciousness and nowhere else, and then step out of that false consciousness, just like you step out of a garment that doesn't fit. When you step out of it, you're really seeing that the false consciousness has no real existence. And all that it contains is equally untrue, unreal, unpresent, only seeming to be. False appetites are in the false consciousness. Weaknesses, vulnerabilities, lacks, limitations, fear, false ambitions, all in the false consciousness. Death is in the false consciousness. Sickness is in the false consciousness. Every imperfection is in the false consciousness. All that is present is divine consciousness, in which all is maintained divinely. And the false consciousness is the cosmic veil. The veil that separates us from the perfection of our own being. As you stand here, you'll find you're finding a link between time and eternity. You're finding a passover from the false mortal sense to immortality. From the visible imperfection to the invisible, ever-present perfection. You're being born into your own reality. false consciousness and the human mind are almost identical. The human mind is that false consciousness. If you include all that has made the human mind possible, if you include all of the past human minds you have had, which have poured concepts into your bag, if you include all levels of that human mind, if you include the human levels of yesterday before you came into this form in a previous form, this accumulated concept of the human mind is the false consciousness, giving you a past you did not have, and veiling a present that you do have, a now that is eternal. The great difference is life never becomes human form, never becomes human flesh, never becomes a mortal anything. In Gethsemane, I am life. We're moving now out of Gethsemane. We don't stand there forever. Once we prove that I am He, the soldiers can come and take us away. That's happening in the mortal dream. They're not taking I away. And this is how you continue to live in the I, watching the human picture, unbowed and unwavering, with unfalterable faith that you are I. For the final curtain has still to be lifted. That which you are accepting, that I am not human flesh, that there is no human flesh, must be proved. And the way it is going to be proved is not your way or my way, but the Father within has a way, a very joyous way. And that way is what we're preparing to witness, the way in which the Father takes us beyond Gethsemane to say, Son, you have lived the true life, the knowledge that there is no flesh that dies. For I, the Creator, create nothing that dies. And now I will show you the reward of your faith. I will show you your real body. I will show you a temple that was not formed in the womb, not formed and not made by human hands. I will show you your spiritual body, and I will teach you to walk in it. But first, go to Gethsemane. And then when you have stood fast, the Father who seeth in secret will reward thee openly. Let the soldiers take you. Don't defend. Don't defend against the problem. Don't defend against nothing. Rest in identity and watch identity through grace, through love, dissolve what never was there. Treat every problem that way. The missing ingredient, which we have all missed, is divine love. First, to love the divine is to give love. And then the love you give, you find you receive in abundance, and you receive the quality of divine love expressing in you. Divine love will lift you above every human adversary, every material adversary. The power of divine love will show you that every adversary is dissolved. But first you must love the divine, which is the giving of the love, and then the divine will return that love to you, multiply. That missing ingredient. And every time you remember that is the missing ingredient, you will look right through the false consciousness which is presenting a conflict and know it is not aware of divine love. That is its real problem. It is separated from divine love. And so it's in fear. It's in doubt. It's in jeopardy. But once divine love is recognized as being invisibly present, the sunshine comes right through the blinds. And all of the little dark crevices are lit up. The miracle worker is divine love recognized as omnipresent. Why don't you take that thought and see if you can pursue it on your own in certain circumstances that you either dwell with inwardly or meet in the outer, but place that divine love there in your conscious knowledge, because it is there invisibly waiting for yourself to recognize it as present. In its presence, evil dissolves. Divine love prevented the soldiers from laying hands on the man they came to take. Divine love released every healing that appears in the Bible, and a victim walked or talked or saw. Divine love in you recognized, felt, accepted, is where Gethsemane leads you. There's more to say, but see if you can't say it this week inside yourself. And we'll all come prepared to experiment in areas unknown to us of divine love. As we go through the tribulations of the trials before the high priest, loving them supremely as our neighbors. Now your work is cut out again, and it's more difficult every week, but I feel a softening of the shock. I feel that we've come to a place where we can place the areas of problem right where they belong, in that bag that Judas carried, in the false consciousness. And I feel you can learn to just rest outside of that false consciousness and watch that it's becoming more effortless now to live in truth. You may find that the hardest work has been done. You may be coming now on the other side of the mountain. At any rate, we're at a period now where more of a peace is coming and less of the climbing effort. I think you're winning your stripes. Divine love to dwell with, the understanding that it is always present no matter what you see. Those 5 points, which are strong ones, and to dwell in the Gethsemane, which stands firm on the truth that I am He. It's quite a week's work. You'll find it's probably 10 years' work. But it's clarifying, and all the activity reported to me indicates that something's happening inside our group consciousness that is light itself. Maybe it's a sign that we're moving out of time into eternity a little better. We've just had to change our clocks in time. Much love and thank you. Thank you.